Welcome to At Least 10 Questions. I'm here with Allie K. You prefer to go by Allie, right?
Yeah, Allie works. That's what I pretty much always introduce myself as. Unless you're my dad, they call me Allison. So
you're a radio personality at Chirp, and you also work at CBS Radio. What is Chirp Radio for people who don't know about it?
Chirp Radio is an all-volunteer-run independent internet station. We're operating out of the North Center neighborhood in Chicago. We have a focus on local music, but we do play a variety of all kinds. We are live 21 hours a day. We're working on going 24 hours, but it's hard to fill the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. slot when there's no one's getting paid for it. So, yeah.
Okay, so how do people get involved with Chirp?
Every couple of months, like quarterly, so 3 or 4 months, we hold new volunteer meetings. So you have to wait for one of those to roll around before you just start attending our regular meetings and become a volunteer. But you can find out how to do that by just going to chirpradio.org.
Okay, so you also work at CBS Radio. Tell me what you do there.
Yeah, I am an overnight board op 5 days a week at US 99.5, and so I run the board and answer phone calls at night, even though I'm not, like, the DJ. That's pre-recorded. Sorry to burst the magical bubble of radio, but a lot of times the overnight is pre-recorded, so there's somebody running it, and they're probably not the person that you're hearing. So that's me. Sometimes machines malfunction, so there has to be someone I have to fix that. So a couple of times, maybe about less than 10 times in the 2 years that I've been doing it, has the station gone off air and I have to be the one to, like, get it back up and running so we don't lose, like, commercial money and all that good stuff. And then so the engineer doesn't have to wake up at 3 in the morning and come all the way down there.
So, like, what do you have to do when a station goes off the air like that?
Well, there's this program called the Audio Vault, and we have a backup computer, so I have to, like, try to bring the backup one up running, but in the meantime, no dead air. I have to find, like, a CD in the studio of, like, a mix and play some of that while I'm rebooting everything and get back up and running. But it's generally pretty easy, but it's definitely good to have the 4-year radio degree.
Yeah, definitely. So when did you first get interested in radio?
I think I've always thought of it as, like, a really cool job. When I was little, I was, like, obsessed with listening to oldies 104.3 back then. I always wanted to, like, try to be that. When I was little, I used to make my own radio shows on this tape recorder that my grandpa gave me. So I'd be playing something off of a boombox directly into, like, the tape recorder. And I used to make those for my mom because we had cassette players in our, you know, 90s. And then I more seriously started considering it in high school because my high school had a radio station, Carl Sandburg. So I got involved in that. Like, it was TV and radio club, but our TV station was down, so the main focus was radio. And it didn't really get any farther than the parking lot, but it was still fun to, like, have a show with my friends and be part of a club after school. Because in high school, I wasn't really an athletic type person. So I got involved in their TV and radio and then art club, and that was it. And I found out that Columbia College had a radio program when I was a junior in high school, and I applied after, you know, all the tests and stuff that you do in high school.
Okay. So getting, like, the hands-on experience at Columbia, did that make it more solid to know that that was something you actually wanted to do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, part of it was just because I didn't see myself doing anything else. Like, in 25 years, I didn't want to be stuck in a cubicle, you know, hating my job. I didn't really know what else I was good at. And I'm not, like, a very good musician. I took piano lessons for about 9 years, but kind of goes away. But what I can do is talk about music for hours on end, so, you know, radio just seemed like an obvious choice to stick with. And yeah, at Columbia, they pretty much tell you the first day, like, you may not make it. You know, they're really disheartening, like, kind of the whole time. And so if you really want it, then you stick it out.
It's a good bit of realism to have even as you go through with this, like, well, it's a tough business to get in, but we're gonna prepare you.
And, you know, it seems like the 4-year degree from Columbia's radio department is really beneficial. Like, it looks good on the resume. People know that it's a good school for it. And I work with a lot of people that only went to like the Illinois Center for Broadcasting, which is like, a, I don't know, 6 or 9 month course. And they don't grasp it the same way that you and I do, Zach. They just don't.
I've noticed that.
like for me, like board hopping comes easy. There's like a week when you're new at a job and it's like your hands are still kind of shaky and you don't want to screw up. But like if you know what you're doing, that goes away. And then some people, it doesn't go away and maybe they're not cut out for it, you know, quite the same.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of compliments, at least from Chirp, you know, that I'm fairly articulate and I know what I'm talking about. And it sounds like, you know, it's easy.
Yeah.
And that's what you want when you hear a radio personality, is like someone that's not struggling. It's not painful for you to listen to.
Yeah, because listening to your shows, it seems like you're comfortable on the mic.
Yeah, I don't think I'm one of those people that puts on like a different personality. I've definitely met those kids that like, you know, you're talking to them as if you and I are just having a conversation. And then you listen to them on the radio and it sounds like a completely different person. Like they're trying to be Casey Kasem or you know, Dick Clark or something. And like,
you're like, hey, we got another one coming up here.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, I get it, you know, but that's been done. Like, be yourself and be your own person. So that's kind of what I try to do. So.
Yeah. And I think another good thing as far as what you do on the air is you're very knowledgeable about the music you're playing. So like, what are some of your favorite groups that you like to play on Chirp?
Well, on Chirp, we kind of aren't, like, I don't want to say not allowed, but they kind of try to have restrictions on specialty shows. So I can't play only things that I'm into, which is good because it exposes me to, like, new stuff and different genres that I, wouldn't necessarily listen to on my own. But, yeah, all the DJs, like, are encouraged to bring in their own library. So every week I bring in my own laptop, and so I go through my favorite artists and, there was a lag between when I joined Chirp and became a DJ and when I stopped doing college radio, where I just wasn't hearing any new music and I didn't know what I liked. I reverted back to like 60s and psychedelia and you know, like classic rock and stuff, and then like 70s punk and glam, what I'm really into, and that's what I'll always be into. But it's nice to be a part of Chirp and hear new stuff. So some bands that they've exposed me to that I wouldn't probably heard of otherwise. There's this band out of Oakland, California called Shannon and the Clams, and they're very much like kind of 60s girl group, got a little bit of rockabilly in there, but it's like it's completely, you know, a new take on that old stuff. So they're really good. It's like this big white woman and whose voice is just amazing. Like if I could ever be a singer, I would want that kind of voice, kind of like Adele, kind of soulful, old school sounding. Then two guys, like two really skinny, like white boys that play guitar, and they usually like dress up and they actually like entertain the audience, which is missing, I think, from a lot of like newer indie groups where they play and they look like they're really bored because they're really cool and pretentious and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say Shannon and the Clams is a big one. And then mostly just like Chirp has a big local focus. So I'm always trying to get my friends and bands to like submit their music. So I would say a big one to watch in Chicago right now is Rabble Rabble. And they're kind of like, they're definitely rock and roll. They kind of describe themselves as like flower punk. So there's like a cross between psych and punk.
Okay.
And their songs are all really danceable. And I really like them also because they're very active in like their local scene. So like they get that in like reciprocated to them. And then what else do I listen to? I don't know. Like I was mentioning like older stuff that I like 60s and 70s punk and glam. So I'm big into like the New York Dolls, the Clash and the Ramones, of course. I just went and saw The Damned with a band from like 77, 78 from the UK. And they're so yeah, pretty much stuff like that.
Okay, so with all the stuff you're exposed to now, what would be some of your like top albums of recent music?
Oh wow. Let's see, I'm gonna pull up the Chirp website actually, because it has all my playlists on there, and that's a cool thing about Chirp too, is that we save all of our playlists. You can go back and click on certain DJs and find out what they've been playing the last couple weeks and, you know, find out their style and what they like. So I will bring up what I've been playing so that I can tell you about it. Okay. let's see. Yeah, I would say lately the albums that I've been interested in, there's a band called Purling Hiss, and their record is Public Service Announcement, and they're on Woodsist Records, so
Okay.
they're pretty cool. There's a band out on Hozak Records called Woven Bones, and their record's called In and Out and Back Again, which is kind of like a Lord of the Rings, which I like. Toro y Moi has an EP lately called Freaking Out that we've been playing a lot of. The new Wilco album is interesting. I've never been a huge Wilco fan, even though I'm, you know, born and bred in Chicago. I just can't get into much of their stuff besides Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, but I know a lot of people are really into the new Wilco. And what else? Oh my God. Okay, we were talking about local bands that, you know, I want to push. One would be a band called Cave that are on Drag City Records. Their new record's called Never Endless, and they're kind of like psych and drone-y and very instrumental, but like catchy. It's, I don't know if it makes sense to be catchy without like a vocal melody, but the, you know, the musicality of them are really, really great.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's the newest stuff that I've been into in the last couple shows.
Was there any style that you started listening to just completely from working at Chirp? Because I know that you said there's some years that you focus on, but were there any genres that you heard there that you weren't really into before?
I'm still fairly uneducated in the realm of hip hop, but Chirp is really good because they go the extra mile to like make sure that our DJs are pretty well-rounded, you know, with the different genres. Like, they had two hip-hop primer-like classes that you could sign up for and go to that our music director and assistant music directors were in charge of, and trying to do, like, an overview by decade and, like,
That sounds awesome.
How it evolved. And so, yeah, I think they're trying to do different genres, so we've only gotten to hip-hop. But that's another reason to get involved in Chirp, is if you're looking for, you know, different music and education that way. We're, you know, so diverse in everybody's tastes that someone is always able to help you. So I like that.
That's cool. Okay, so do you have any like goals in mind? Because I know as far as Chirp is, it's pretty much like volunteer based, right?
Yeah, I've been doing, like, all the things that I'm actually involved in is not just being a DJ. Like, when I first joined up, I wasn't able to be a DJ because I joined in September of 2008, which is right after I graduated from Columbia in May. I had met the president, Sean Campbell, at Pitchfork Music Festival. We always have a table set up at so you can like meet volunteers and find out stuff and sign up for mailing lists there. So I talked to her and I was like, how can I get involved? I'm fresh out of college and I'm looking for something to do because I can't find a job yet. Because it did take me about 9 months to actually get a legit job at CBS.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped in, and first what they have you do is like go to events at, like Pitchfork or any other concert in the city that Chirp presents. And you sit there for like 3 or 4 hours and you represent the station. So it's like being involved in like a promotions department of a real radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of tabling of events and stuff. And then I joined the music committee to start building up the library, and you can like get a volunteer hour for reviewing an album. And that's not like a whole, you know, list of stuff about the album. It's like 3 to 5 sentences. You describe the album, it goes on a sticker on top of the CD or whatever in the studio, so that the DJ has like a little, you know, helpful hints, like when they're on air, if they don't know a band, just refer to like the little sticker that someone else has reviewed. Like, you can tell what the genre is, you can tell, like, you know, what it might sound like, other artists that somebody thought that it sounded like, just as a reference. So we do those like once a month, and then we try to get together and have music meetings and talk about like, oh, I like this band, we should try to get this in rotation, stuff like that. And then I'm a DJ, and then I'm also doing a lot of production work for Chirp. I do interviews myself from, you know, people around in the city, but then I also can cut up other interviews that other people have done. So that's what I've been focusing on lately. I just cut up an Art Brut interview recently. So that should be like up on the website because we have podcasts. And then, yeah, I think that's it for now. I'm like working on liners and drops and imaging for the station.
Okay, so you're pretty well-rounded in knowing like how to do all kinds of things around there.
Yeah, I liked production the most at Columbia and would like to have a job doing that, like to get paid for it. But right now, to keep myself like active in it, because I have Pro Tools at home, so I can do all this from home, or I can use stuff at CBS without telling them. So yeah, but it's good to keep that creative side that I have with Chirp, because I'm not finding that so much at CBS at my job, and that's kind of disenchanting me with radio right now. It's like, did I choose the right career? Because I feel like I've been doing the same thing for 2 years, and it's not doing anything for me. It's just kind of like, you know, I'm a warm body in a chair, 6 hours a night. So it's nice to have the doing Chirp to supplement my lack of creativity at CBS.
Yeah, because it keeps those muscles working so you don't forget those skills.
Right, exactly. Like, I don't want to not use Pro Tools for, like, 6 months and completely forget what I was doing. And I don't know. I don't have any of my notes from college anymore. I don't know where any of that went. So it's not like I can refer back to that. And I hate, like, sifting through, like, the how-to and help things online.
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, keep myself, you know, hot with that, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any funny radio stories from just your little bit of time working in radio?
I mean, I'm a pretty awkward individual, so a lot of meeting people like through Chirp or whatever becomes like an awkward story, but there's nothing that really sticks out, you know, funny about like just radio stuff. Do you remember anything from school that was funny at all? I don't know.
Now, there was nothing really exciting. The only thing I can remember was interning for ManCow. And it's pretty well known that he's not a big fan of, like, talking with interns. He likes to have them do stuff. But I just knew I interned with him for, it was, like, probably 3 months at that point. And then just all of a sudden I was coming in to start the day, and ManCow was just like writing notes to himself on this like couch area in his studio. And he was like, "Who's that guy with the glasses and the trucker cap from 30 Rock?" I was like, "Judah Friedlander." He was like, "Thanks, kid." And I felt like he made my day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Acknowledged my existence.
I don't know. I was interning at The Loop when Jonathan Brandmeier was still on. Like, he had just come back. And the way that they had his studio was always like wallpapered up, blacked out. You couldn't see into like the window. They purposefully covered it up. So I was always joking that he's not actually in there, or he doesn't actually exist, and that it's all just like pre-recorded from somewhere else, or he like dials in. He doesn't even have to come in. And I never saw him. And I got there at 10 a.m. So I know he'd like probably be leaving around that time. So I don't know. It was like the ghost of Jonathan Brandmeier all the time.
Yeah. Did you ever meet any famous people at your internships or anything like that?
No, because I was just in like I interned for programming, and like that's not usually what people do for their internships. A lot of people just go to promotions or, you know, like production or like assistant producing stuff. So I was kind of locked away in like, away from like where the actual studios were. I was doing like paperwork and call outs, and like they made me take all these jewel cases apart.
And
I never really got to like stand in the hallway where all these celebrities were, Q101 or The Loop, when they were in the same area. I don't know.
I met a fair amount at when I interned at WCKG. With the Stan and Terry show. One funny one was I met David Carradine, and it was really interesting. He came out after the interview was over, and he was going through the papers we had, because we usually have like newspapers on the side, like just to research stuff for the show.
Yeah.
And he looked for the comics, and he was like, Why is there no Boondocks in here? It's like, I feel like somebody is systematically taking Boondocks out of the comic strips because because they don't want to get their message out. It's like, David Carradine is really into the Boondocks. They just stuck out to me. And it's just weird to hear what happened to him later, because it's like, I met that guy and that's what he was into.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much have only met like musicians and stuff, but I try not to act all like starstruck even when it's bands that I actually really like.
Yeah. Is there a mantra you have, like, don't freak out?
Mostly it's don't look stupid and giggly and actually try to conduct an interview instead of like, mulling over my words and seeming like I don't know what I'm doing. So I just try not to think of them as like, cute and just like, it's just a job. So yeah, sometimes it's hard. Like when
Yeah.
I had a show at Columbia with my co-host Ricky, we got to interview Hello Goodbye, which is like a like an indie pop band, I guess. And I really like the singer because he's got glasses, he's really nerdy and skinny, and he's just, he's a handsome dude. So I was like trying to play it cool with him, but it was probably one of the best interviews that I've done because we just kind of started talking about like we started talking about that old Nickelodeon show that used to be on late at night with it was all the scary stories and stuff. And they just went off and we started talking about like individual episodes and it just became like really comfortable and it was good. And then we took like a really awkward picture at the end and the guy that I liked in the band, the singer, actually like I don't know, he was like smelling Ricky's hair or something in the picture. I don't know, it looks really strange. But I have like the goofiest, biggest smile on my face in that picture because it's like a genuine, I was happy to be there. That interview happened on their tour bus. But we got to see the show and have like a photo pass and a press pass, whatever, at the Congress Theater. And it's not like this is a bad area over in Logan Square, but they just act like, they have a lot of punk shows, so they think that kids are dangerous or whatever. So they took all of my pens. Like I had come straight from school to go do this interview. So all of my writing utensils that I always keep in my bag are in my bag. And I have a photo pass, press pass. Like they know that I was just interviewing the band. I'm not going to stab someone with my pencil. And yet they took all of my writing utensils.
You can never be too sure.
Yeah, I know. It's like that's never happened to me at any other venue. I mean, I understand if you're just a patron, but like if you're there, as a press person, it just doesn't make sense. But you got to be safe these days, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so is there anything you wanted to say before we wrap up the interview?
Well, I want to remind everybody that my show airs every Tuesday at noon until 3 p.m. And they always give me, pretty much always give me some tickets to give away during my show because, it's lunchtime. People are able to call in or email on their breaks at work because we have like a high traffic volume of people that listen at work. So this Tuesday, I'm giving away tickets to see Wooden Ships, which is a band from San Francisco that's like a psych band, and they'll be playing at the Empty Bottle. But yeah, coming up over the next couple of months, we're doing a lot of like Christmas and holiday type shows. So they'll probably be giving me a lot of concert tickets to give away. So between noon and 3 Central Time on chirpradio.org, and you can either listen through iTunes or just pull up a pop-up thing for it to play. So,
All right. Thanks a lot, Allie.
oh, thanks for having me, Zach.